Loving Liberty Network is excited to present Ask an Immigrant, a weekly radio show by Lydia Wallace Nuttall and immigrants from all over the world who share their personal stories as to why they came to America. Lydia is the author of Forgotten American Stories, Celebrating America's Constitution, and an executive board member for We the Kids, with the mission to put God back into America's history and to inspire kids to value liberty and our United States Constitution and to be proud to be Americans.
Welcome, everyone, today to Ask an Immigrant, dedicated to helping us and our rising generation to value, have gratitude for, and appreciate what we have here in America. I am so proud to be an American, and you can be too. And I'm Lydia Nuttall, and today we have with us on the show, Caesar. Caesar, welcome to Ask an Immigrant.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy for being here, and hope we can help lots of people to understand what it is to be in America and to live here and to have a good time being an American.
I like that. Yeah. I hope that's what happens as a result of what you share with us. That'd be awesome. So please tell us, Caesar, where are you from? What country did you come from?
I'm originally from Brazil, south of Brazil, a state in Brazil called Rio Grande do Sul, that is almost in the border with Uruguay and Argentina.
Okay, I'm seeing Uruguay on my globe and I see Argentina. So you really are down in the very southern tip of Brazil.
That's correct.
Yep. Okay.
We are known as the gauchos over there, the cowboy people of Brazil.
The cowboys, because tell me what the terrain is like. Is it like grasslands for cattle grazing?
Yes, there's lots of cattle. Meat is the big thing in south of Brazil. No, all these restaurants that have a barbecue, Brazilian barbecue, that was originated from south of Brazil. So
really?
I grew up having barbecue every weekend in my house. And Brazil is very famous for its barbecue, and that came from where I'm from.
Well, that is awesome. So, okay, I have to ask... So, are you a cowboy?
Well, I have been living in America now for more than 40 years. So, I lost many of the trades or the culture of Brazil and the, but I still love meat. I still like the music from the country music from that part of Brazil. But I think I lost a lot of some of the things that I grew up with over there.
Hopefully not the tradition of having a weekly barbecue, though, right?
No, that one still happened every week.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked if you're a cowboy is because I have a horse. So I was wondering, are you a fellow horseman? Did you do that when you were a kid?
Yes, I used to have one when I was a kid. So, my grandmother sold the farm that my grandfather had over there, and sold the horse with the farm.
So that ended your cowboy days.
Exactly.
So tell us then, how long have you been in America?
Well, I came here in 1980, right after I served a mission from the LDS Church. And I married in Brazil an American lady that was living over there during that time. And we decided to come to America. So I have been here for a long time. I live here longer now than I live in Brazil.
So in essence, you came to America for love, yeah?
Yeah, that's basically that.
Well, that works. That works. So, okay, so there's a story behind that. So you met this American woman in Brazil. So about how old were you then-ish, like in your 20s?
I was 21 during that
21.
Time.
Okay.
Yes, her father was working in Brazil for Kodak, the old photography company.
Yeah, I remember.
And there is lots of stories about this. They went to Brazil. They bought a motorhome here in Salt Lake City, and they traveled all the way to Brazil with the motorhome.
Wow, this is your wife, your future wife's
yes.
family?
Yes.
Good grief.
Yes. So
wow.
They took them about 3 months. They went all over South America, Central and South America, and we met each other over there during that time when they went to Brazil, and we ended up falling in love and date, and 2 years later, they came back to America, and we lost contact with each other for a while.
Oh, no, that's a tragedy. My heart just skipped
yes.
a beat for you. So
but
how
then,
did you reconnect?
Well, there is a long story about that. My uncle was a very high leader in the church, and he came to a conference in Salt Lake City, and he put the earphones to see the translation from English to Portuguese of the conference, and he recognized the voice of the person that was translating, and he was so furious that he decided to wait to see who was on the other side. Well, he waited, and in the end of the conference, he found out that was this young lady that I date that taught him English in Brazil.
Oh, my goodness. What are the chances? You
yes,
were destined.
So after that, he went to their house and everything, and we reconnect each other. I was in my mission during that time, and we start to write to each other, and everything. And when I finished my mission, she was in Brazil. She went to Brazil to wait for me, and we got married 4 months after my mission.
Wow. Good grief. I'm looking at the globe, and you look at the distance. Okay, in the United States from the southern tip of Brazil is huge. Like you have to even cross over the equator. You have different
yes.
seasons. When it's Utah's winter, it's your summer in the southern part of Brazil, right? So, boy, amazing what love can do to two people, right?
Destiny, right? So,
yeah.
Well, we end up getting married in Brazil, and I was working there. I was the manager for an electrical company in Brazil, and it was very difficult to have a good salary and make good money in Brazil. I was working 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, and making $200 a month. And
oh,
I was
dear.
The manager of this, one of the managers of this company. So we decided then that it would be better to try America. And we just made our decision and came to the United States of America together. The first place we went was Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So
wow.
We went there south and... and lived there for about 3 years before we came to Utah.
That is pretty amazing. So a couple questions. First one is, if you were only earning $200 a month, what were the living expenses? How did you survive on that? I'm assuming your living expenses had to have been a little bit less than, you know, what we think of now. But even so, was that like you were on the lower end of the totem pole or down at the very bottom of the totem pole compared to others in Brazil?
Yeah. During those years, you know, was very difficult in Brazil because Brazil was controlled during those years by the military, by the army, and $200 a month was very difficult. You would get, for example, rent an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment during those years would cost you about $200 a month.
Oh, wow. So then what did you do for food? Or did you have a car?
I didn't have a car during that time. And Brazil has a very good transportation with the buses and all kinds of things. So we didn't have a car. It was very difficult during that time to have a car. You know, so
I can imagine almost all what you earned each month just went to shelter, let alone food
or
a vehicle.
So that's what made us, you know, decide, you know what, we can do better in America. And her family was living in Baton Rouge during that time. And we tried. We said, hey, let's go, let's move there and see how things will be, and hopefully will be better than here, and everything worked out.
So what were your first impressions then of America when you arrived in Louisiana to live? Were there any like cultural shock differences with either the people or I don't know, style of living, way of living, standard of living?
Well, you have to understand that for every person that lives in South America, come to America is a dream. It's something that very few were able to do it, and most people could not afford it. I fortunately had a wonderful grandmother get paid for my tickets and were able to sacrifice a little bit and send me here with my wife. But when I got here, I thought that everything would be wonderful and that everything would be better and so on. And was a little bit of shock, you know, especially being on the South, where we had still during those years, we still had a little bit of problems with racism, you know, and all this history of the South and slavery and everything. So for me, that was a shock. I didn't expect to see that in America, because in Brazil, black and white are the same in many aspects, you know. We had there the mulatto, that is the mixture of the races, you know, and for me to see that in America was a big surprise to me when I got here.
Well, I'm kind of surprised too, because I kind of thought back in the 1960s, 1965 era in America, that's when the civil rights movement, 64 maybe, civil rights movement was occurring. And so you got to Louisiana in 1980, which was about 15 years later. So obviously the people in that region were trying to catch up to the Brazilian standard of, hey, we are all of one blood and it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or mix. We're all mm-hmm. one people. Mm-hmm. So how are they towards you?
Well, I never felt discriminated. Now the years, that's one thing I love about America. I learned very fast when I got here that if you are honest, if you work hard, if you do your part, you know, carry your load, that people will respect you. So I was never discriminated by coming from another country or things like that. What shocked me was, you know, I didn't expect, for example, that in America would be neighborhoods only black people lives, or only white people lives, you know, and those kind of things. Like, for example, if you take a bus, a public transportation, that everybody will sit together. And in Louisiana, and during those years, you know, one race is sitting in the back, another race is sitting in front. So those kind of things is what shocked me the most. towards me, I was very lucky. I never felt any, racism or any kind of prejudice about me being from another country.
Well, that's really good to hear. It's just, this is good for me to hear too about how, at least in Louisiana, based on your experience, they were still struggling, even though racism, you know, there were still laws that protected the civil rights of every human being in America, no matter what your race, your skin color, your whatever, that it was still a struggle for the people there to assimilate. Yeah, mm-hmm. Does that sound
absolutely like a good assessment? And I think it has a lot to do with the history, right?
Sure.
What happened in the South before and everything. And I cannot tell you if it's the whole South, because, you know, I go to Florida, I go to Georgia, I go to South and North Carolina and everything, and I did not experience that as I did in Louisiana during that time. And maybe because I was too close over there, living over there, working over there, I could notice more that.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
You know, but that was 40 years ago, so I don't know how it is now.
I don't know. I guess we need to go there and check it out. You can do a comparison,
exactly.
Right? So, what is it that, in hindsight, do you miss the most that you had to leave behind in Brazil? And maybe what is something you left behind in Brazil that you don't miss at all?
Well, obviously, family. You know, that was a big thing. My first year here was very difficult, you know, to be so close to family, mother, father, uncles, aunt, cousins, everybody in Brazil, and to leave them behind, you know, that was very, very difficult. Not knowing when I was going to be able to go back to visit, you know, that was very, very difficult, especially during those years where communication between countries was very difficult, very expensive. I remember calling my mom one time, costing me about $4 per minute. To talk with her, you know, took me 3 months to pay the phone bill when I call her. So it was very difficult on that, and food also, you know, all the food I grew up with, one kind of food and a thing. Those years you didn't have Brazilian restaurants and all the food that you can find today. Today you can find anything that they have in Brazil, you can find here. But in those years, you didn't. So I think those two things were very difficult, family and the food. The culture For me, I don't know why exactly, but it was very easy for me to adapt to the culture. You know, I didn't have problems with doing that very much. You know, I found some very good friends right away. I work as a land surveyor for about 3 years over there. I build pools. I work in restaurants. I did a bunch of things when I was over there. So the culture, I think, was easier for me to adapt it. But those two things, I think, was tough.
So what did you leave something behind that you don't miss?
I think the poverty, you know, knowing that, you know, the uncertainty that if you are going to be successful, if you're going to be able to find a good job, be able to grow and progress in that country, that was very difficult. I just finished my mission for the LDS Church, and it was hard to find a job that would give me enough money to have a good life over there. You know, in the first 4 months we lived there, I lived with my grandmother's in her house because, you know, we could not afford to have our own place. So, you know, I think that was what most worried me. You know, in Brazil, not everybody has the chance to go to get a degree, to go to college. You know, you have to pass a very tough test that they have there, and just a small percentage can go to college. So that I think I did not miss, to come here and know that I would be able to go to get a degree. And I graduated from BYU in three majors, and I was able to do a bunch of things here and get my master's and become a teacher and everything. So all that here for me was much easier than if I would try to do it in Brazil.
Well, that is certainly then a blessing then that you were able to receive coming to America, is to receive an education and be able then to succeed when whatever you wanted to succeed in, you had that opportunity to do that and to provide for your family. And I'm assuming have your own home and vehicle. And did you have kids?
Well, I don't have a jet ski yet, but I'm in the process of buying one.
No. I mean kids. Did you have children?
Oh, children. Yeah. Yeah, we have lots of children. Well, my life history has its ups and downs. You know, my wife, the one that I married in Brazil, we were married for 30 years. And she ended up passing away in an airplane accident.
Oh, dear.
You know, she died. She went to hike Mount Everest. And when she was there in Kathmandu, the plane crashed, and she ended up passing away. And we had five kids together. And I ended up marrying a Brazilian lady years later, that she had three kids on her own. She ended up getting a divorce, and we ended up marrying. And, you know, now we have eight kids. They're all grow up, so have their families and everything. But, you know, so we had our sad moments in our lives and our good moments.
So if you could share then with us, Caesar, a 1 minute message or less that encapsulates something that you'd like to share with especially our American young people today, what would it be?
Well, I think that America is a wonderful place. I don't think there is a place like America in the whole planet Earth. give you the opportunity to be successful. Is a free country, give you the opportunity to believe in whatever you want to believe, to follow your God, to grow, to progress. So it's a wonderful country. But I think that doesn't matter if you come from another country or if you were born here. You know, I think there are some values that the country teach us, that the culture teach us, that help us to grow. You know, honesty, integrity, help us to work hard. If you work hard, you will be successful. If you give the best of yourself, you will be able to achieve the things that you want to achieve. You know, the American dream is still there for anybody that really is willing to work hard to grab it and to have a good life. You know, not everybody will be rich, but you can live a comfortable life, a secure life, a life that follows the principles of liberty and equality and everything else. So I would say work hard, give your best, you know, and put God in the middle of everything, and I think everything will work out.
I love that. What a great positive message. Thank you so much, Caesar. I'm so glad you were able to join us on Ask an Immigrant. Thanks for sharing your story with all of us.
No problem. It was my pleasure. My one thing that I could not lose yet was my accent. But everybody tells me that it's part of who I am and I should not worry about.
Absolutely. I agree. I totally agree. Well, thanks for joining us, Caesar. Sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So to all of you who are listening, if you or someone you know is an immigrant to America and would like to share your story on Ask an Immigrant, you can contact me at Lydia, that's L-Y-D-I-A, at lovingliberty.net. Thank you for joining me and Caesar today. Now go forth and stand up today for liberty in your life.